Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Girl Long Gone by Danielle M. Haas, narrated by Chelsea Stevens. Chapter 1. Some people believed money was the root of all evil, but Gabriel Wilson knew they were wrong. He'd always been evil. Money just made his life more fun. Money had bought him a lot of things in his 32 years on Earth. His beautiful brownstone in Brooklyn, his summer home in the Hamptons. Hell, it had even bought him his flawless reputation. Everyone in New York high society knew who he was and what he represented. Class, sophistication, and a hint of mystery many people found appealing. But most importantly, money had bought him his workshop. A little piece of seclusion in a busy city where he could sneak away unnoticed and concentrate on his true calling in life. Gabriel strode to the center of the room, and the old wooden planks squeaked beneath his weight. Puffs of stale air swirled around him, sending wisps of what lay under his feet to his flaring nostrils. Sawdust, dirt, and the lingering scent of death. His muscles clenched with desire. Too much time had passed since he'd visited the basement. He'd make sure to pay his respects after he got what he came for. After he got what he needed from her. A single light bulb dotted the center of the ceiling, and he yanked the white cord dangling beside it. Brightness illuminated the dark space, but he didn't blink from the sudden burst of light. He'd anticipated it. But she hadn't. She squeezed her eyelids shut and jerked away from the penetrating shaft of light like she'd been kicked in the gut. Adrenaline raced through him. He hadn't even touched her. Yet. Hello there, kitty cat. He couldn't keep the lust in his gut from coating his words. She was special. He'd known it from the moment he'd found her online dating profile. That's why he'd fucked up and hadn't taken his time. Hadn't made sure to keep his identity hidden. He'd have to lay low for a while, which meant he'd have to take his time on this one. He traced his mouth with his tongue. Taking his time wouldn't be a problem. Narrowed blue eyes opened and sent sparks of hatred his way. Those eyes were what had drawn him in. Sapphire blue against skin the color of creamy mocha. The wild tangle of dark curls was icing on the cake. A sliver of pain threatened to steal his pleasure. Her vibrant blue eyes weren't quite as close to violet, and the dark-haired beauty he longed for had softer curls than the tight coils flowing down his new little pet's back. But something about Monica Mitchell called to him the same way another young woman had a very long time ago. A young woman he would kill to have back in his arms. The shrill ring of his phone stole his attention, and irritation rippled through him. A quick glance at the screen showed an unknown number. This is Gabriel. He only half listened to the caller, his gaze locked on his kitty. Monica's muffled cries couldn't penetrate the tape across her mouth. A grin slid onto his face, and he fought the urge to chuckle. Good evening, Officer Sanders. I can come to the station and speak with you whenever you'd like. I'll do whatever I can to help find this poor woman. I'd hate to think she's in danger. Detective Connor Mitchell tapped his foot against the cool tile in his kitchen and listened to the voicemail greeting on his sister's phone for the 100th time. 3 days had passed since she'd been declared a missing person. Irritation and cold, hard fear warred within him, and he threw his phone across the room. The ball of panic weighing down his stomach told him everything he needed to know. She was in trouble. Mark Tyson, a homicide detective for the NYPD and his best friend, retrieved his phone from the floor and tossed it in his direction. Dude, you're upset. But smashing your phone against the wall won't help. Connor let the phone fall at his feet with a thud. He sank onto the hard-as-nails kitchen chair and hung his head. Emotion misted in his eyes, but he swallowed it back. Tears would do Monica as much good as a broken phone. On a deep breath, he lifted his face to Mark. Ice blue eyes and a concerned scowl stared back at him.
You're right, but I'm going crazy. I need to do something, not sit here on my ass waiting for someone else to find her. My lieutenant might have refused to let me work her case, but I know what's going on. There's no trace of her.
He pushed up from his chair and ran a hand over the smooth surface of his shaved head. His nerves danced as he paced a short line back and forth across the galley kitchen. Each step brought a wave of uncertainty. Each second that passed, a new punch in the gut as he imagined every worst-case scenario possible. Being a detective on the computer crime squad gave him a front-row seat to some of the most horrific things human beings did to one another to make a quick buck. A heavy sigh slumped Mark's shoulders, and he pinched the bridge of his nose.
You know why you can't work the case. You're too close. Hell, you shouldn't have been surprised Lieutenant Miller recommended you take some time off. You won't be able to concentrate on shit while Monica's missing.
A snort of disgust puffed through Connor's nostrils.
Recommended my ass. I didn't have a choice. And what's the point? So I could be sitting around pounding my head against a wall when I could be helping find my sister?
Mark crossed the kitchen to Connor in three long strides and stopped his pacing with the weight of one heavy hand on Connor's shoulder.
You can help. Keep thinking of places she could have gone, people she's talked to who aren't a part of her normal circle of friends. You and Monica are close as hell. I can't think of any other siblings who could live together in their late 20s and still be so tight. Something she said could be the key to finding her. No one disappears without leaving something behind. Anything to find them.
Frustration laced through him. All he'd done was think about where Monica could have gone, but damn it, nothing came to mind. Monica never deviated from her routine, not after their parents were killed years before. She'd gone from a slightly neurotic teen to a hyper-organized adult overnight, choosing to move in with him and try to schedule both of their lives as a way to cope with their loss. Their grief diminished over time, but Monica still kept a tight rein over all areas of her life.
I've gone through everything a million times.
His words snapped out like the tangled straps of a whip, but Mark didn't so much as flinch. Not even the dark stubble-covered jaw tightened.
Then go over it again.
The softness of Mark's tone almost broke the shield of strength he'd erected over the past few days. He preferred his friend's sharp-edged, no-nonsense approach to an investigation over his gentle prodding. Connor turned away and jerked his shoulder from Mark's hand. He couldn't break down, couldn't give in to the urge to wallow in his guilt and fear and every other godforsaken emotion threatening to pull him under. Monica was all he had. He couldn't lose her. A gust of wind blew through the open window in the adjacent living room, and the ends of his flimsy excuse for curtains billowed into the air, snagging on the end of his computer desk on their way back to the beige carpet. His fingers itched to fly over the keyboard and do something productive. Following his instinct and need for action, he hurried to his desk. The soft pecking of keys lifted and mingled with the sound of chirping birds and honking cars outside the window. Straightening, he rolled his neck back and forth in an effort to release some tension and pointed at the screen.
This dating site is the only thing new in Monica's life. It's the key to finding her. She's a creature of habit, and growing up in a family full of cops made her more careful than most. I was surprised she even joined a stupid dating site. I went through her history. She talked to only one man. They may not have made plans to meet, but she told him everything about her life. He knew her work schedule, what nights she usually went out with her friends. Hell, she even told him parks where she liked to relax on her days off. She'd mentioned she'd be out late the night she went missing, and she'd bitched about the club her friends were making her go to. He knows what happened.
Mark wouldn't have to move in Connor's cramped apartment to see the computer screen.
You told the cops she'd signed up for Eternal Match. They interviewed Gabriel Wilson and no red flags came up. Hell, he even had an airtight alibi for the night she went missing. Irritation had Connor shaking his head. Something else had to be there, and they couldn't see it. The guy shut down his profile. Why would he do that if he didn't have anything to hide? Mark shrugged. Maybe because he didn't like having the police hound him in a missing persons investigation? Connor bit the inside of his mouth until the tinny taste of blood mixed with his saliva. He's hiding something. I know it. If no one else believes me, I'll find another way to prove it. Maybe it was pure desperation training his focus on Gabriel, but years of police work taught him to trust his gut. And his gut screamed to find out more about the only man Monica had shown any interest in the last 3 years. Nothing else made sense. You already poked around Monica's dating profile. What else is there to find? Suspicion turned Mark's voice hard, but Connor didn't give a shit. Ignoring the question, he settled his weight into the comfortable chair and concentrated on the intricacies of the dating site. Whoever had put in the safeguards and written the code was good, but not as good as him. Time passed in a haze, and sweat tickled his forehead. Everything around him, including the irritated energy pouring off of Mark in waves, disappeared as he crawled closer and closer to his goal. A pulse of satisfaction beat through him. He was doing something. He was using his resources to help his sister. Glancing behind him, a wide grin cracked the somber expression that had been his constant companion the last few days. I'm in. A deep frown pulled at Mark's lips, and wrinkles marred the tan skin of his brow. What did you do? I pulled up Gabriel Wilson's shutdown profile and can see every woman he's messaged. What? The word erupted from Mark, and he crossed the room with thunderous steps. He knows more than he's saying. Maybe he said something to one of these women that could lead to Monica. Maybe one of them will tell me what they know about this guy. Dude, even if you find something of use, you can't take it to the police now. Mark shook his head and scowled. Connor pressed his lips together and turned back to face the computer. He didn't need to take what he found to the police. He'd already hired someone who could help without red tape tying their hands. He scanned the list of women on Gabriel's match list and read through line after mundane line of conversation. A pictureless profile sparked his interest, and he pulled up their conversation history. Son of a bitch. What'd you find? Mark peered over his shoulder. Connor shifted his gaze to the time posted in the bottom corner of the screen. A woman, Evelyn Price, has talked with Gabriel for a few weeks. They're meeting for coffee in 5 minutes. You don't have time to stop her. And even if you did, you have nothing to tell her to keep her away from him. No, but she's the only woman he seems to have made actual plans with. She might be able to help me. He dragged the cursor through the conversation between them and tried to find her number. Mark snorted, the sound reminding Connor of his fat pug sleeping curled up in the corner of the couch. The pug Monica begged him to bring home. You think this guy is dangerous, and you'd ask a stranger to help you get close to him? Locating the number, Connor grabbed his phone and made the call. Please, God, let this woman pick up her damn phone. The warm breeze skimmed across Evelyn's cheek, and she closed her eyes and let the soft tickle of air calm her jangled nerves. It didn't help. The rapid beating of her heart raced along with the million excuses rushing through her brain. Meeting men for coffee in the middle of the day wasn't a normal activity for her. Usually, she ignored men like the plague, especially ones with a history of using their charms to get anything they wanted. Get a grip. I made it clear this isn't a date. Just a guy I kind of knew from high school catching up and hopefully landing the biggest job of my life. Filling her lungs with the crisp spring air, she gathered her nerve and grabbed the door handle of the coffee shop she'd recommended to Gabriel. Ring, ring, ring. The sound of her phone sliced through her facade of courage, and she shrank back into the crowd, hustling down the congested sidewalk. She plunged her hand into her purse, and her sweat-slicked palm made grabbing her phone more difficult than it should be. A river of people swallowed up the sidewalk, engulfing her in their current of motion. She fought against them as she battled her way back to the front of her favorite coffee shop. She lifted her shoulders in frustration and stopped under the small awning attached to the mom-and-pop store. She ignored the overwhelming call of coffee, the smell wafting through the open door in waves with every new customer, and finally yanked her phone from her purse. The ringing stopped. Evelyn huffed a breath of frustration that rustled her long bangs against her forehead. She glanced at the screen but didn't recognize the number of the missed call. No voicemail registered. Pressing the lock button, she hoisted the phone in the air and squinted in an attempt to give her appearance one last check before stepping inside to see Gabriel Wilson for the first time in almost 10 years. Ring, ring, ring. Once again, her heart leaped into her throat. She was too damn on edge. The same unknown number popped up on her screen, and she hesitated to answer. Usually, she'd let her voicemail greeting pick up for a number she didn't know, but answering her phone would buy her a few more minutes to put off coming face to face with the man who'd intimidated the hell out of her in high school. A few more minutes, one. Hello?
Evelyn Price?
The obvious panic in the deep male voice had the hairs on her arms standing on end. Yes, this is Evelyn. Who is this?
Detective Connor Mitchell with the Computer Crimes Division of the NYPD. Are you currently with Gabriel Wilson?
A beat of confusion and fear pulsed through her. Why would a cop want to know if she was meeting Gabriel? And how did he know her plans?
How did you get my number?
She couldn't help the sharp bite in her words. Police made her nervous, especially when they called her out of the blue on a number they shouldn't have.
No time to explain. Gabriel is dangerous. You need to make an excuse to him and then meet me wherever you feel comfortable. This is important.
Her humorless laugh cut him off.
You can't be serious. If Lacey put you up to this, it isn't funny.
Her roommate knew how nervous she was about seeing Gabriel. Hell, Lacey was aware of how hesitant she'd been to join the stupid dating app in the first place. It would be so like her to pull something like this to try to make her laugh.
I can assure you, this is no joke.
The seriousness of his voice made her furrow her brow and annoyance flare hot in her gut.
I have no way of knowing you are who you say. Trust me, I'm more afraid of whoever got my number than a guy I knew in high school.
She clicked off the phone and rode the rush of adrenaline into the coffee shop. Crap. She hadn't gotten a chance to make sure her lipstick wasn't on her teeth or her mascara smeared. Not like it had been when she'd left the apartment, but she didn't want a hair out of place. Even if meeting Gabriel was about securing a job to provide for her future and the furthest thing from a date, she still wanted to present herself well. The idea of having her picture plastered on some stupid dating app hadn't set well with her, so she'd opted to leave her profile picture blank. The years had been good to her, but anxiety pitched in her stomach as her gaze scanned the crowded room. What if Gabriel didn't recognize her? Groups of people talking and lone New Yorkers hunched over computers filled all the tables. A line of impatient customers waited for their orders. Standing on the tiptoes of her favorite wedges, Evelyn peered over the crowd until her eyes locked on a man with golden hair parted in a wave to the side and the same wide smile that had made all the girls fall all over themselves in high school. All the girls except her. She'd had enough issues to deal with in high school, and harboring silly fantasies about boys had been the last thing on her mind. She'd been more concerned about survival. Weaving through the crowd, she lowered her gaze and counted in her head to calm herself. She wasn't a kid anymore. She could do this. Gabriel stood as she approached the table, and her gaze traveled the long length of him and settled on his hazel eyes. Somehow, his grin grew wider, and he gestured toward the empty chair beside him.
I'm so glad we could get together, Evelyn. You have no idea how happy I am to see you.
Chapter 2.
Shit. For the second time in the hour, the urge to throw his phone against the wall gripped Connor. But this time, he resisted. Instead, he shoved the phone in his pocket and turned to face Mark.
What happened?
She didn't believe me. She said she knew Gabriel Wilson in high school.
He swept his gaze over the jumbled paperwork and clutter of his workspace. Where the hell were his keys? He moved the mess aside, but nothing appeared except a plate of food and a line of ants turning his two-day-old peanut butter and jelly into their smorgasbord.
Dude, that's gross. I get you're losing your shit, but Monica will be pissed when she comes home and sees this place infested with bugs.
Mark grabbed the plate and headed back into the kitchen. Connor's stomach twisted, and he squeezed his eyes shut. An image of his sister with her hands on her hips and a scowl whenever he left a mess entered his mind. She'd taken over the mother hen role in his life, even though she was 4 years younger. She'd be pissed to come home to the slop he'd left all over the apartment. When Monica came home, he needed to remember those words. He had to hold on to the hope that she would be found, and she'd return to their too small apartment and boss him around like she always had. Sucking in a deep breath, he tried to calm his frayed nerves and opened his eyes. He needed to find his keys and get to the coffee shop. Turning a wide circle, his gaze landed on every inch of the apartment he'd shared with Monica over the past 5 years, except the bedroom she'd claimed when she'd moved in. Mounds of dirty dishes littered the formica countertop, his day-old clothes scattered across the living room floor, and an odd collision of stale scents permeated the air. Mark was right. He had to do something about the apartment, but he couldn't waste time on that now. Spotting the keys among the piles of files on the kitchen table, Connor scooped them up and headed toward the door.
Where are you going?
Mark's annoyed question slammed into the back of Connor's head, but he didn't turn around.
Going to the coffee shop before Evelyn Price leaves. She can't plan on staying too long in the middle of the afternoon on a workday. They're at a family-owned place in Astoria. Do you want me to come with you?
Connor glanced over his shoulder as his hand grasped the doorknob. Mark's dark eyebrows rose so high they almost touched his hairline.
Thanks, man, but you've got enough on your plate. I appreciate you being around so much the last few days, but I hope your help isn't needed on this investigation.
Mark drew his lips in tight and dipped his chin.
You and me both. And it's probably better if I don't know your plan. Something tells me I wouldn't like it.
Connor snorted.
Just trust me. I'll call if I need you.
Mark nodded.
Go. I'll let your lazy dog out before I leave.
The door squeaked shut behind him, and Connor took the ancient wooden stairs two at a time. He pushed open the door, and the cool air sent shockwaves through his system. The musty air and rays of bright sun beating into his apartment moments before hadn't prepared him for the bite of the wind as it whipped down the street. He hadn't even bothered to grab a jacket, but it wouldn't take long for his hurried pace to warm his cramped muscles and chase the chill from his bones. By the time he reached his car, his skin had warmed from the jog. He jumped inside, started the engine, and took off as fast as the slow as fucking molasses traffic allowed. Irritation curled his fingers against the steering wheel, and he bounced his gaze between the dashboard clock and the bumper of the yellow cab in front of him. The ringing of his phone interrupted the barely audible rock music on his speakers. He pressed the device to his ear after answering the call.
Mitchell here.
Hey, Connor, it's Ben.
The whistle of wind barreling through his cracked windows made the accented voice of Benito de Salville, the private investigator he'd hired the day before, hard to hear.
What have you found?
Connor asked as he put the windows up. The frantic plea in his voice would have normally made him wince, but his pride was long gone.
Not a damn thing. I've searched everything I could get my hands on about Gabriel Wilson, and the guy doesn't have a single ding on his record. He's rich as hell, comes from privilege and wealth, and prefers to keep out of the limelight. Nothing to indicate he's a hidden psychopath who is kidnapping women.
Connor banged the heel of his hand against the center of the steering wheel. The horn blared into the cacophony of noise that was New York's constant companion.
Damn it.
That doesn't mean there's nothing there. I've only scratched the surface, and the guy's got enough money to make sure his name is clean. I need to dig deeper. I trust your gut.
The validation of a man he'd met only once was enough to push the air from his lungs. No one else believed him, not even Mark. Everyone at the precinct thought he was grasping at straws to point his laser-like focus on someone they'd already cleared. But finally, he had someone on his side, even if he had to pay him to be there.
I'm going to snoop around his businesses a little more. He has his hands in a lot of different pots. Too many. There's bound to be a slip-up somewhere.
Connor nodded and tried to concentrate on where he was going. He'd never been to the coffee shop where he hoped to find Evelyn Price, but he was familiar with the area. A delivery truck shoved its way into traffic in front of him, and he said a silent prayer of gratitude for the now empty parking spot. He pulled into the space and jumped out of the car with the phone pressed to his ear.
Good thinking. Also, look up a woman, Evelyn Price. Gabriel's been talking to her on the same app he used with my sister. I spoke to her earlier, and she said she knew him from high school. I'm going to try to get more information out of her, but I have a feeling she won't be very cooperative. I'll see what I can find and get back to you.
Connor clicked off the phone and shoved it in his pocket as he hurried down the street. A horde of people swallowed the sidewalk on their way to whatever blessedly normal aspect of their lives came next. He'd give anything for normal. But that wouldn't happen until they found Monica safe and brought her home. Shop after shop passed by in a blur until the gut-punching scent of coffee drifted into the air. His gaze landed on a green awning across the street and traveled down to the gold lettering etched on the glass. Coffee Time and Tea. Memories of Monica with a constant mug of coffee in her hands, usually with a book and her dog Pork Chop on her lap, threatened to steal his composure, and he forced it away. He needed to focus. Adrenaline rushed through his veins, and he took off at a sprint. Angry horns blasted the air, and people yelled as he bobbed and weaved through the traffic. He yanked open the door, ran inside, and slammed into a middle-aged man with a full cup of coffee. The flimsy paper cup smashed between them, and the scalding liquid seeped through Connor's thin t-shirt and burned his chest.
"What the hell? Watch where you're going!"
the man yelled. Coffee splashed at their feet, and a hushed silence engulfed the room. Every set of eyes in the room locked on him, and mouths opened, a mixture of shock and concern pouring from them. In the far corner, a woman with light brown hair turned his way. Red stained her full, pouty lips, and lust pooled in the pit of his stomach. Rich brown eyes fixed on him, and he had to tear his gaze from her stunning oval face. A man sat across from her with his lips hitched in a tiny smirk. Their eyes locked, and the man raised his eyebrows a fraction of an inch. The deep set of his eyes and his pristinely polished blonde hair matched every picture Connor had found of the bastard. His heart thumped wildly, and everything in the crowded room escaped his notice except the table in the back. He'd found Gabriel Wilson. Now he needed to figure out how to get the striking beauty across from him away from the snake and firmly on his side. His brutal honesty on the phone had only pissed her off. He'd have to figure out a different approach, and fast. Evelyn widened her eyes at the spectacle at the front of the store. An older, balding man with a smashed to-go cup in one hand had the reddest face she'd ever seen, and the bulging vein at the side of his neck threatened to explode. Spilled coffee stained his button-up white shirt, as well as the stamped concrete floor. The man with the shaved head who'd barreled into him, however, didn't seem fazed at all by the ruined t-shirt that fit around his broad chest so tightly she didn't understand how the seams stayed together. He ignored the sputtering man as if he were nothing more than a bothersome gnat and stared directly at her. A rush of heat warmed her chest and cheeks as his sapphire blue eyes met hers. The unique combination of those eyes against rich mocha skin gave him a dangerous and enticing vibe. A jungle cat in a rock-hard body sizing up his prey. Her blood pulsed through her arteries, and the sudden dryness in her mouth made it hard to swallow. But wait, he wasn't staring at her. She turned back toward Gabriel, and a flash of something sparked in his narrowed eyes. Intrigue? Amusement? Recognition?
She opened her mouth to speak, but he tore his gaze from the man now stalking toward them and fumbled.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?